This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you this same time each week by Kingdom Ministries, which is dedicated to teaching and preaching the message of the Kingdom of God, a message that was near and dear on the heart and lips of Jesus Christ himself. As we look at the passage of Scripture in the Gospels and also the Old Testament today, we're going to be focusing on the fact that today is Palm Sunday. And it's the day that the Christian church honors the entrance of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem, this last full week of his mortal life leading up to his crucifixion. The passage I'd like to have you focus on in the Gospel is from the Gospel of Matthew. If you'd get a Bible and a piece of paper and a pencil and write down the passages so you can refer back to them later to always be a good student of God's Word, be able to go back and refresh your memory as to what's being said and what's being spoken. The passage is from Matthew chapter 21. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 21. And as Scripture says that when they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately there you will find a donkey tied there, with a colt behind her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." And this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughters of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on the colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" And the disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This was Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. And by his actions, he publicly proclaimed who he was. He drew a picture demonstrating by action who he was. He knew his position. He knew that he was the Son of God. He knew he was God's Messiah. Messiah is Hebrew for Christ, which is Greek. And both words mean God's anointed. One's Hebrew, one's Greek. And they mean God's anointed one, God's chosen one. Another way to look at it is God's representative or God's agent. It's a person who's doing the work on behalf of God. And that's what Jesus did, to show us what God expects and to prepare us for eternity, to prepare us for a kingdom that will be coming, that Jesus will set up, and he set up when he set up perfection on the earth. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he publicly proclaimed himself to be Israel's Messiah. And it was a picture of what was spoken in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus in chapter 12 and verses 1 through 14. Now, we're not going to take the time to read the entire passage because I want to expound on this passage a little bit, but I want to commit these verses to you for you to write down and go back and read them. And what we see here is Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on that day was fulfilling an example of what took place with the nation of Israel in the book of Exodus, and when they instituted the Passover, when they were getting ready, the nation of Israel was getting ready to leave the city of Egypt, the land of Egypt. Verse 12 says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This shall be the beginning of months for you. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying that on the 10th of this month, they are to each one take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's house, a lamb for each household. Now, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat. You should divide the lamb. And jump down to verse 6. You will keep it until, this is keeping the lamb, keep the lamb to the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintels of the house in which they eat. When Jesus came into Jerusalem on that day, on the triumphal entry of Jerusalem, he was proclaiming himself to be their Lamb, their Messiah. The two pictures in the Old Testament that show, and there's a variety of passages, but two that I like to refer to that show the two pictures of Messiahship and the work of the Messiah. One is the coming king, ruling and reigning, and that's in Isaiah chapter 11. But one where the Messiah would die for the sins of the world. This is a picture of a suffering Savior in Isaiah 53. And because resurrection was not something that was familiar to the people did not see how Jesus would be able to be both. And so, even though the Old Testament pictured two messiahs here, they didn't see how one person could be both. In Jesus' day, when he came into Jerusalem, he proclaimed himself to be their Messiah, and he came in peace, not in to antagonize and not to make war. And so when the Jewish people, believing him to be their coming king, their ruling Messiah to overthrow the Romans, and then see Jesus not fulfilling that role, it turned out that they turned against him. He wasn't the one that they were looking for. Yet Jesus was fulfilling the role of the suffering Savior, because it was important that Jesus die and then be raised again. For God had all this in mind for the purpose, for Jesus Christ, his son. Jesus, when he was born, if you remember, there were two messages spoken by the same angel, one message to Joseph and one to Mary. To Joseph, he said he's going to save his people from their sins, and to Mary, the angel said he's going to sit on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. There's two different pictures here. Saving people from their sins could only be done through a death, through the shedding of blood. And the Jews knew that the only way they could have forgiveness of sin was through a blood sacrifice. Yet the message given by the same angel, Gabriel, to Mary was that he would rule and reign. What we have here was God's plan that this son, this child, Jesus, born to Mary, was both the suffering Savior and the coming King. And Jesus himself mentions this as when he's telling the disciples of what the future holds for him in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and starting with verse 21. Matthew writes that after Peter's great confession that we studied about a couple weeks ago, that Jesus then began to tell his disciples how he was going to go to Jerusalem. And verse 21 specifically reads like this: "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you.'" Peter did not understand what God had in mind for Jesus. Jesus was to be the sacrifice for sin, and he tells his disciples that he's going to be going to Jerusalem, he's going to be mistreated, he is going to be killed, and he's going to be raised the third day. until after the resurrection, the disciples never did get that. Their eyes were blinded. We see here in the triumphal entry, Jesus comes into Jerusalem proclaiming to be the Messiah, but they're looking at him as the ruling king. And since he's not overthrowing the Romans, they ultimately, at the end of the week, reject him, and he is crucified. When in actuality, he is carrying out God's plan to be the sacrifice for sin, to die for the sins of the world, and fulfill what he had told his disciples, that he'd be killed and be raised the third day. This was a shadow and a type from the Old Testament, as we read in the book of Exodus chapter 12, for they were to pick their lamb on the 10th of Nisan and keep it under the 14th and then kill it at twilight. And Jesus was the lamb, the Passover lamb. Another interesting passage, and we'll begin to close with this one, but I want you to write it down and take a look at it. It's from Gospel of John. The Gospel of John in chapter 1, and as John was talking to the people, verse 29, it says, "The next day he," that's John, "saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" And this is a very unique word, lamb, because there's in Greek there are a number of different words that refer to a sheep or a lamb. And this particular word that is used by John in Greek refers to one that is to be sacrificed or to be killed. And John realizes from the beginning of Jesus' ministry that one of the things Jesus himself was going to do was going to die. And so he is the Passover lamb, and he is the lamb that was presented to the people on the triumphal entry as the one that would die for them. Ultimately, he did just that. May God bless you as you continue to study the scriptures and become a student of God's word.